thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Buenos dias. Cristo vive. Cristo vive. Cristo vive. Some of you got it already. Cristo vive. Christ is alive. A su nombre, gloria. Glory to his name. Y a su pueblo, victoria. And to his people, victory. Can you repeat the first part at least and help me out and help me feel better today? Cristo vive. Cristo vive. Jesus is alive. The last words of Jesus on the cross are powerful words for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly, truly, I say unto you that today you will be with me in paradise. Then he refers and looks at Mary and the beloved disciple. Mary, woman, behold your son. And he looked at his beloved disciple, behold thy mother. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Into your hands, I commend my spirit. I don't know about you. But when I hear those words, and that's the powerful message of Easter, it's a message of hope, of joy. Yet, in the middle of the most amazing suffering that somebody have ever experienced, we see Jesus forgiving until the end, those who offended him. We see Jesus caring so much for one of the criminals. And in the last minute, he was compassionate for those who were ridiculing him. We see Jesus and his compassion and care for relationships, for the mother and the son. Then we see Jesus expressing in the last moments, expressing the fact that he was feeling forsaken. You can imagine a close relationship with God. And that's kind of my emphasis in the few minutes that I have, who Jesus is and what he has done for us. He is not like God. He is not a little bit of man or a little bit of God. He's fully man and fully God. He's the Son of the living God. And Jesus felt the separation from his Father at that moment. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. He experienced all the suffering on the cross. And I want to slow down a little bit here. In the next word, it is finished. Because this is an important word that I want to highlight today. To give you an idea, the meaning of that word is the word tetelestai, for those who love Greek. I am a Greek or a Hebrew scholar, but I love languages. It's a word that is used in the business, in the marketplace. Documents are signed, and when a debt has been paid, it's like a sealed tetelestai. That means when Jesus was declaring that, it is finished. He was faithful to the end. He was obedient to the end. Even though he felt all the weight of our sins and transgressions, he felt all the separation from his beloved Father. And I am here to tell you that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. He is the only way to come to the Father. You will hear today in a secular world with secularization and relativism that there are many ways to get to God, but I am here to testify and tell you today there is only one way to get to the Father, and his name is Jesus. He is the Son of God. And maybe some of you have an intellectual idea about who Jesus is. For some, it's another prophet. For some, it's a good teacher. Who is Jesus for you? For those who are listening online, I want to ask you who Jesus is for you. Jesus, fully man, fully God, he's the Son of God. And when he was on the cross, he was able to say, it is finished. Only two times, I believe, this word appears in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Verse 28, and then in verse 30. Then he received the sour wine, and Jesus said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What Jesus do for us? What he has done for us? Let me briefly describe to you. Jesus was betrayed, forsaken, accused, and punished for us, for you, for me. In Isaiah 53, verses, I recommend you to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I just want to pause here in three verses. Jesus, he was despised and rejected by mankind. And I want you to include your name right there. I'm including mine here. A man of suffering. I know many of us and many of you are suffering right now with all kinds of challenges and pain. I am here to tell you that Jesus understands that. He was a man of suffering. He was familiar with pain. How many of you are feeling pain these days? And some of us, at one point in our lives, we struggle with pain. Jesus understands our pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain. And hear me today, he is here today to take up your pain. He's not in the manger anymore. He's not on the cross anymore. He lives in the heart and the life of every believer. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, striken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was punished. And that punishment brought us peace. That kind of peace that we experience today has a high price. He paid for that on the cross, so that you and I can experience that kind of peace. It's a peace that there is no way that you can experience by getting good grades. It is a kind of peace that you cannot get by being hired for the best company, or for the best ministry, or for the best church. This is a kind of peace that cannot be experienced by scoring the best goal in your life, soccer players. This is a kind of peace that the world cannot offer to us. But it's available. That Irene, that Shalom, that Pax, Paz, peace of God, we can experience it in the middle of the challenges. Who Jesus is for you? Do you know what he has done for you? Have you realized what Jesus has done for you? By his wounds, we are healed. He is still a God of miracles. I'm praying for miracles these days. I don't know about you. Don't get tired of expecting miracles from God. I'm praying for supernatural breakthroughs in different situations that we are facing as a family right now. I'm expecting great things from God these days. I don't know about you. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us, you and I, have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus received all the weight of our sins, our transgressions. He took on Calvary's cross all the struggles that we are facing today. I have hope for you today. All anxiety, all kind of depression, he took it right there on the cross. Do you believe it? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the only way to come to the Father. He paid the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for you and for me, so that we can have eternal hope. He received all the weight. He forgave all our sins and trespasses. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us, for all of us, for our sins. And I have good news for you this morning, this afternoon. There is no need for more sacrifices. There is no need for more waiting. There is no need for more intermediaries between us and the Father. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. The veil, the curtain, where the priest came every year to be an intermediator, to ask God for forgiveness for all the sins of the people. That veil, the day that Jesus died and he resurrected, that veil, the Bible says that it was torn from top to bottom. Parashat. Hebrew word, parashat. It was the separation between man and God. I have good news for you. Today, we have full access to the Father through Jesus. The only sacrifice that God demands from us today is a sacrifice of praise and worship. I don't know about you, but I am preparing myself right now. I don't want to wait until Jesus come again or I am going to the Father. I have choose to worship him in the good times and in the bad times. In the times of celebration and laughter and in the time of suffering and challenges. Jesus is for you. He died on the cross. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. Easter message is about hope. And if Jesus didn't die on the cross, we are wasting our time. I have been wasting my whole life. But he is alive. And he's coming soon. We don't know when. But we have this opportunity today to respond to him. Would you reject it again? Would you ignore him again? Would you condemn him again as we did before? It was not the Romans who brought Jesus to the cross. They were not the Jews who took him to the cross. You can say it was God who took him. Because God so loved us, he allowed his son and he sent his only son to die on the cross for you and for me. But I am here to propose to you that I did it. You did it. It was us who sent him to the cross. It was my sin. It was my transgression. It was our sins who sent Jesus to the cross. He paid it all. Don't keep trying to do something else. You cannot do any more to attain that grace and that love. You have it. It's available for you and for me. Religion will tell you do this, do that to attain something. Christianity shows you a Savior who came to die on the cross for our sins. It's the only religion who allows you to see the response in front of your face. Jesus died on the cross for my sin, for your sin. If you think that you are good enough in your own, there is only one way, based on the Gospels. You need to be perfect. Is it somebody today in this room or online who can raise up the hand today and say, I am perfect? I am not. But one day, Jesus, in His mercy, in His grace, allow me and open my eyes, and I hear what Jesus did on the cross for me. I try to understand it. I try to rationalize it. I grew up in a cultural Catholic family, following rules and norms to do something. But I didn't have a personal relationship with God by then. I was trying to fill my life with friends, with studying, with playing soccer. But I felt empty. I was worried. I was lacking peace. Some neighbors starting to share the gospel to my parents. And they were the first ones to get saved. I'm grateful. Even until today, my mom talks with that family. Because they need to hear. By their obedience of sharing the gospel, all my family, little by little, is becoming to Christ. By God's grace and His mercy, I am here today, preaching, teaching, involving missions. My two brothers are serving the Lord in different capacities. I'm grateful for an intercessory mother and for a godly father that went to the Lord to be early, in my opinion, but he was in his best time with the Lord. I started to read the book of John. Dangerous book to start to read as a new believer, right? And I literally started to feel like my eyes, like things from my eyes were falling down. And I was overwhelmed. I tried to rationalize how a powerful God, who is the creator of the universe, is interested in me. How is it possible that I can have a personal relationship with Christ? I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. I started to experience His peace. I was worried. I was empty. I tried to fill it with stuff. And I am here to testify to you that you can try to fill your life with a lot of stuff. Knowledge, money, fame, you name it. Nothing, nobody except Jesus can fill that void in your life, in your heart. Try it. keep trying. But one day, you're going to recognize that only Jesus can resolve our biggest problem as human beings. Right here, our heart. That happened many years ago, but I am here today to testify about the faithfulness of Jesus. I am passing through one of the most difficult times in my life with my family. But I am trusting. And I can experience His peace. That's why I am here preaching today. Dr. Smith can agree with me and say, and many of you who are going through difficult times, and many of you can testify today of God's peace in the middle of the storms. How would you respond today? Please stand up. How would you respond today? If you were to die today, where would you be? Where would you wake up? And if you are in God's presence and he asks you, why should I allow you to come into my heaven? What would you say to him? How would you respond today? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Acts 16:31. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. What would you say to, how do you respond to God? God, I have been a good man, a good woman. Look my grades, look at my grade report. I have been in church every Sunday. I have not missed, even during COVID, not one service. What would you say to him? This is an invitation for those of you who never have received Christ as personal Lord and Savior. He is here today. The Holy Spirit is in this room. And I want to have the privilege to lead you in a prayer. Forget about who is beside you. It's something personal between you and God. Church, we are praying. Let's pray. And you can repeat these words with me. Father, thank you for your love for us. I am grateful for what you have done on the cross for me. Today I realize who you are. You are the Son of God. And what you have done for me, you paid the ultimate sacrifice for me on the cross. And today I surrender. I open my heart to you. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. If you have done that prayer today for the first time, I want you to do me a favor this week. Before you travel, before you go somewhere, look for Dan, the chaplain, look for the spiritual formation team. Talk with a coach. Talk with a professor that you trust. Talk with a mentor. I'm sure they will help you to guide you. What are some of the things that you can do to maintain that personal relationship with Jesus? He loves you. Jesus loves you. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. Father, we thank you. I also pray for those who maybe are kind of walking away from you these days. I pray for prodigal sons and daughters who need to come back home again. And Father, I pray that for all of us, that you will continue to give us the strength to proclaim the gospel and to make a difference in the places where you have sent us. Father, I pray for revival. I pray for healing. I pray for salvation and restoration. And I pray that you will use technology and you will use media and all the means possible, and that you will continue to move around every corner of the world, Father. And I pray for persistence and perseverance for the church. We, the church. In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.